Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is Tuesday, October 20th. And my co-host, JR, is not feeling well today, so it is just me here. I'd like to welcome you all and thank you for being here. Remind you that on October 27th, we have our monthly meditation. On November 3rd, we have Lisa Marks, Reverend Lisa Marks, who is going to be talking to us about past life regression. And JR has experienced Lisa and thinks that she is just a fantastic hypnotherapist, so we're really looking forward to having her on there. On November 17th, we're going to have Suzette Faith Foster, and Suzette's story is really incredible. She has had the same injury as Christopher Reeves, and not only is she alive and well today, but she is also up and moving and giving lectures and doing energy medicine, and she's going to be here talking to us about energy medicine. And today we have Dr. Kimberly Ballas, who so far is not on the line. So if you're out there, Dr. Ballas, you need to press 1 so we can hear. I know that she is a very, very busy woman, and I hope that she didn't have an emergency this morning. She is a naturopath from the Wyoming area. She's board-certified naturopathic physician with a Ph.D. in bioresource engineering from Georgia Tech. And she also holds a Ph.D. in nutrition from Stanford University. And I've been working with Dr. Ballas for probably about 6 or 7 months now, and she's just absolutely amazing. And she is going to be, hopefully, talking to us about emotions and how they show up in our DNA. So because I don't have her here and I don't have JR on the line to be able to talk with me a little bit, what I'm going to do actually is put you guys on hold with a little bit of music because she's trying to call me. Thank you. Okay, so we had an email miscommunication. She's going to call in. She never received the number, so we'll have her here in a moment, which is great because she is just wonderful. Her energy is great, and she is so knowledgeable. She's like a walking medical encyclopedia. When you talk to her, she's just phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to having her with us today. And JR, I know that you're on here, so I hope that you are feeling better, and I'm really sorry that you couldn't join me today. Let me get Dr. Ballas on the line. Hi, Dr. Ballas.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've already done like a really brief introduction and told everybody that you are a naturopathic physician and where you got your degrees from, but if you'd like to just tell us a little bit about your background. I know everyone would be interested in hearing more about you.
You just want me to reveal that I'm a nerd. I know.
No, I was just telling them that I think you're a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. So,
some of us have more time on our hands, right? Actually, my background is in aerospace engineering. I have a Ph.D. in engineering from Georgia Tech, and I worked for NASA for several years, actually at Cape Canaveral with Delta IV Atlas III rockets, and decided how much I really, really, really didn't like my job. So decided to go back to school and get a degree in nutrition. and did a PhD in nutrition, and then decided to do a naturopathic doctorate and finished that up at Clayton. So there you have it in a nutshell as a professional student.
Wow. Well, that's quite a varied background. So very interesting. So you have said that, and I know I love talking with you on the phone whenever we get together for my appointments, because you just really seem to be able to, you just know your stuff. I guess that's just the most, that's just the easiest way to put it. So when you sent me your topic about talking about emotions and DNA, I was thrilled because I know that whatever you say is just going to be incredible just based on the other things we've talked about. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what you've learned?
Well, I just some projects I was involved in. I worked on a biometrics project, with like iris scanning and some fingerprint ID stuff with genotyping when I was in engineering. So that part kind of, catapulted me into being more interested in like biological function. And my undergrad was in physics, so I kind of got into a lot of the chemistry stuff anyway. And when we started looking at stuff, and this was like back in like 98, 99, when all of the genome structure stuff was like getting really popular, and that's when they were starting to finish up the whole mapping of the genome structure that it was complete. So I just started like following up on that, and we started doing some blood studies and things. And fortunately, I had access to a lot of the lab equipment that we could do that, so that made it very interesting. But when they were mapping out structures of the genotypes and the DNA patterns, band 64 chromosome 9, that's like your blood type. But there are other things that are in that bandwidth and in that chromosome, like little seeding chart. But then they started talking about throwing out junk DNA. So it's like, okay, really? It's kind of like when you have a part removed from your body, do we have spare DNA? Do we have spare parts? And you look at that and, okay, viruses, and this is probably a hot topic right now with all the swine flu stuff, but viruses are just junk DNA in a sense, because it's an abnormal strand of DNA that doesn't match any chromosomal bands that we have, but it attaches to ours through protein linkage. So it kind of Velcros on and goes for a little ride, and pretty soon the body kind of gets confused of knowing what's self, what's not self, so it has a harder time flushing the irritant, which that's really the basic function of our immune system, is identifying self, not self, and flushing the irritant. So that's how our line of immune defense system gets activated. So when they started talking about junk DNA, I'm like, really? People have that many viral components going on? That's crazy. And in a sense, it was astronomical, but in a sense, it was plausible because of the junk or the DNA linkage that they put in vaccines. And most people have had vaccines, and they're still promoting flu shots, and it's like when people say, what should I do about the flu shot? And my first response is run fast.
Really fast.
Because really fast. Hide. Because it's just detrimental to how it confuses the immune system, because it goes in intravenously and it only creates one type of an antibody, which is an IgG. It doesn't initiate an IgA antibody. So it really weakens your immune system, and then you have that DNA that's linking to whatever in there. So the first plausible thought when they say junk DNA is that, okay, people probably, immune system, flu shots, whatever, but then it's like, wow, really, there's that much. So we started looking at some stuff, started doing some really cool dark field microscopy and phase 2 contrast blood studies under the microscope. And again, having access to really cool equipment, that didn't hurt any. So we started doing some emotional release work with people. But first, we drew blood samples and put them under the microscope in a live cell format. So looking at that, while the person is in another room having emotional healing work done, we do a process that I developed, and it's called CLEAR, which is cellular level emotional access and release. And there was one doctor working on this, and he kind of fell off the planet. Nobody really knows what happened to him. He just dumped all of this 20 years worth of research in my lap, and I worked with a partner friend of mine, Laura McCready, in Florida, and we kind of went through and took it to the next level, developing it and looking at some stuff. And, you know, what we kind of stumbled on was fascinating. When we were doing the release work in another room, the blood would change simultaneously under the microscope of how it shifted. And we're like, okay, this is really fascinating. So we kept moving it further and further apart. Pretty soon, you know, once you're 20 miles apart and it's still doing the same thing, it's like, okay, there is an energetic link here somewhere, even beyond the capabilities of my mind and physics. I get that there's a link here somewhere. I just don't know how to explain it yet. So we started just playing with that more and more and more, doing more research, and we just started looking at how that could be emotional DNA. So the emotional DNA having no consistent mapping pattern because, of course, everybody's emotions are different. So we looked at transforming emotional DNA and understanding, you know, blueprints and stuff of it. And there's several books, you know, like how the physical DNA determines a lot of your physical, your psychological, your physiological characteristics, then emotional DNA, a lot of times you can do personality tests and kind of figure out, you know, where you are. But basically, when you process through the shift, your DNA is getting activated from three different strands that currently define humanity to the 12 strands that are available to you as your energetic vibration is increased. So your emotional DNA is actually connected to your physical DNA, and the two affect each other in order to speed up how DNA activation and your emotional DNA issues require healing. So a lot of books, one of the books on this, Wayne Dyer has a book called The Shift, and that one's really good. And then Carolyn Meese has one called Defy Gravity. And then she also writes Anatomy of the Emotions, I think. I can't remember the exact name of that one, darn it.
Anatomy of the Spirit, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, Anatomy of the Spirit, thank you. Mm-hmm. So basically, when you look at the emotional DNA, it really is a storehouse of emotional memories from all of your lifetime. It also contains any, what we divide it into is like a life pattern or a belief system, okay? A life pattern is what you get, you come in, you know, how you hear things are passed down for seven generations. That's what you come into the world with. Even things emotionally that influenced your mother while she was carrying you, you know, in utero, that's going to affect some of your emotional status. If she had a lot of fear, you know, that's going to affect you, because you're absorbing that through the placenta. Then the belief system is what we go through. That's an indoctrination. It's I like how Wayne Dyer put it in the book Inspirations. You have the first 35 to 40 years of your life is called the morning of your life. And then he said from about age 40 to 50, that's the afternoon where you go back and sort out all the lies that you were told in the morning of your life. And in the evening of your life at about age 60, you just don't care what those are. You're making up the rules as you go. So it's kind of funny. I like his stuff a lot. But it's interesting because at that influential period of time, you know, we're in either religious organizations or schools or cultural, you know, you're born into a Spanish culture, of course you're going to have different, you know, things that you do culturally than somebody that's Russian would do. So, you know, there's a lot of influential properties there that form who you are and form that emotional DNA too. So the activation of like your physical DNA will also trigger issues associated with the emotional DNA. And an example of that is especially with the sense of smell. You go in and you smell maybe apple pie, and that reminds you of, oh, my gosh, my grandmother used to make apple pie, and all of a sudden you can visualize her, what perfume she wore, what her house looked like. So it accesses a cellular memory. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this has been proven, too, with transplant patients. So in transplant patients, like there is a book by Paul Pearsall, The Heart's Code. And then Claire Sylvia wrote one called The Heart Remembers. And it's Paul Pearsall quotes about 63 different cases of saying that one of them was this guy, and this, in Claire Sylvia's book, there was a guy that was on a motorcycle, and he had just gone through the drive-thru at McDonald's and got chicken nuggets and then got killed on the motorcycle. Well, Claire Sylvia happened to be the recipient of his heart and I think a lung. There were two organs that she got. And she was a strict vegetarian, never had alcohol, and woke up, and they said, well, how are you feeling? And she goes, I really want a beer. She goes, oh, my gosh, I don't even know where that came from. You know, she goes, I don't drink. And then she said, you know, a week goes down the road, and she goes, I cannot stop eating chicken nuggets. She goes, this is the craziest thing. I've been a vegetarian for 20-something years. And so, and then there's another story that a donor received a heart, and the lady wanted to meet the person that the husband wanted to meet the person that received his wife's heart. And the word that he and her used to use between each other was copostatic. And this kid that received the heart walks up and puts his hand on the guy's heart and said, don't worry, it's copostatic. So we get this emotional DNA, those strands, those triggering processes, because these additional strands of DNA and the increased vibrations that you experience, they remove support for the emotional DNA and its patterns. So the situations and issues that come up are indicators that this activation is occurring. And when that is coming up and occurring, you can also have a cognizant vibration to change it or become, you know, to heal it, to become aware of it. So, and it's like peeling layers of an onion off too. Once you get closer to activating some of the really deep emotional DNA, the harder the healing process or the bigger the healing crisis is sometimes, because you're aware of these DNA patterns now, and then you're aware of releasing them and transforming them. So I guess the bottom line, kind of like your emotional DNA is what binds you to your soul group, and then that's what you're able to reconcile with them, with this emotional energy that exists between all of that linkage and transforming that. So it does create an energetic cleansing when you start choosing to work on it and go through that range of emotions. It literally shifts that DNA, and that's what we proved under the microscope with that blood changing. It did shift.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Ballas, how do you work with people to shift that? I mean, how do you begin to do that?
There are a lot of different processes. Like the one I talked about that I developed is CLEAR, and I use breathing techniques. We use some kinesiology. We use a lot of essential oils to activate that limbic system in the brain to go through that and do repatterning. You can release a lot of it, but I think the key is reprogramming it, and I use I am statements to do that. So, you know, if you're releasing like a life pattern of an abused person, you know, how are you going to repattern that? And the wording has to come from that person, because when I say powerful, that may not mean the same thing to you. So they have to find their languaging. So repatterning it is going to be like saying, you know, I am in control, or I am powerful, whatever their wording happens to be, that's going to be the complete opposite of the emotional DNA that they experienced when they were in that abusive situation. So the nice part about that is you don't have to go through years of therapy and talking it out and blaming your mom and whatever to get to the core. You're just tapping in literally to the emotional DNA without having to go through the brain to get there. So that's why that one's a little different. There are so many processes out there. You know, there's body talk, there's 3-in-1 diffusion. There's so many great processes. Mine's not the end-all, fix-all. I just wanted an easy one. So I do it in a 12-step, and I know it sounds bad, but we call it idiot-proof because maybe I should say it's very focused. just because even when I teach a class on it and we're doing demos, the person getting the demo goes, oh, my word, you have no idea what you just stirred up. And just by going through the motions of it, you know, it actually accesses it. So there are a lot of great processes out there, and I just find that, you know, there's this commonality, there's this silver thread that runs through that we all got channeled information about how to do this, and some of us have taken it in one direction and another direction, but even though they're different processes, there's still a foundation of cohesiveness to it, that we're all really doing the same things, you know, we're all trying to clear out the negative emotional DNA.
Right. We have somebody in the chat room asking how we can improve our ability to heal our bodies.
Well, I have to do a little bit of science here, sorry. but keeping it on the topic of frequency, you know, when your body is healthy and when it's at a higher vibration or a higher hertz frequency, and hertz are just cycles per second of energy, and your body does, it is electric, so it does cycle like that, just like an electrical current. And the higher your hertz frequency is, the less you're going to come in contact with an irritant being a disease, a virus, whatever's going on, you know, around you, like swine flu right now, you know, whatever's going on, that's your irritant. Those always operate, and they always vibrate at a lower frequency. That's just how it is. So the more deep breathing, the more yoga things that you can do, Tai Chi, the more in tune that you become with your body, that you understand the alarm signals before the alarm signals have to knock you off your feet to get your attention, the more in tune you are with that, the sooner you can reestablish balance to your foundation, and the less dramatic things are that you experience. So keeping your vibrational frequency up, you know, with breathing techniques, with good supplements, with good eating, good lifestyle habits, and I always tell people get rid of the stinking thinking, because the negative thinking is going to take your frequency down. So I try to, you know, catch it myself and say, cancel, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that. I would go, okay, cancel. I am going to be able to do this, but it's going to take more time than I anticipated. So you change your languaging around, you know, just like my kids when they'll come up and they say, Mom, I'm sick. And I go, no. And then they're so conditioned, they go, oh yeah. Mom, I feel sick. Because if you change verbs, you know, really, a disease should be a verb. It shouldn't be a noun. But unfortunately, as Westerners, we're a little possessive of our possessions. So we want to hold on to those. And eventually, they become nouns in our lives, and we become who they are and not ourselves. Like, I am an MS patient. You know, I am chronic fatigue. I am fibromyalgia. These things that we hold on to. I have people bringing lists of diagnoses, and I'm like, well, are these you? Do you see your name here in any of these? Is this you? You have to distinguish self from not self. And the more you can do that on conscious awareness in the brain, the more the body is going to carry that frequency or that vibration into the DNA. So by saying, you know, everything is a verb, we take it to an Eastern standpoint of medicine. If it's a verb, it has movement. It comes in, it has to go out. So instead of thinking of, like, cancer, oh, I have cancer, that's a noun. You change the languaging to, I'm experiencing cancer at this moment, because that means you're only doing what's in the moment. It's a verb, and you just gave it the vibration to have movement to get it out so that the body can flush the irritant.
That's a
so
great
a lot
way
of it is
that.
In our thinking.
And do you find, too, that people have to be using, like, with I statements, it has to be something that they can buy into?
It does. And, you know, this is kind of a fun one because I struggle with this one all the time because we have those little counteractive demons in our head that go, no, you're not. And we hear those. So, you know, even the best positive affirmation sometimes gets thwarted by our little voices in our head. I like Michael Loisy's book, and it's The Law of Attraction, and he just so simplifies it. So for me, I stand in front of the mirror and go, I am thin, and then I get the little voice, no, you're not, look at those thighs, you know, and it's like, oh, man, how do you get rid of those voices? So you change it with verbiage. So I like what he puts in there. It's like if you can't buy into the manifestation of saying I'm a millionaire, you know, because our logical consciousness takes over at some point with that, with the voices. You say, I'm in the process of being thin. I am in the process of being a millionaire. You know, this energy is on its way to me right now, because that gives us a more acceptable, less antagonistic approach, so that we get those little voices coming up to counteract it. I really thoroughly believe there's just from Nightingale Continent a long time ago, Earl Nightingale wrote The Magic of Miracles, and it was just a little article that he did. I mean, it's been out forever and ever and ever, like from the 80s or before. And it talks about how three aspects, if you hear something, you visualize something, and you write something down, it has an 85% coherency. So I think it's really important that you write your affirmation down, whatever languaging is going to work for you that keeps the little voices from doing ping pong matches with you in your head. Writing it down, saying it out loud, and I specifically like to get people to say it out loud in front of the mirror, because you're making eye contact with yourself, and we don't do that very often, so it's penetrating when you do that. I usually tell people, you know, when you're driving, look in the rearview mirror of your car. Who cares if the person over there thinks you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and you're talking to yourself? It's okay, you know. And then, you know, so writing it, and then saying it, and then putting it somewhere you can read it every day, like on your bathroom mirror or on your refrigerator, somewhere you're going to look at daily. So I try to put all three of those into play, because I think it changes the coherency frequency in the brain of how you adapt it into your DNA sequencing.
Now, do you find that with, like, emotional things that are going on when they're doing the – when they're doing the affirmations, is there a different – can the emotions obviously can override. So do you find that by looking at themselves in the mirror that reaches the emotional body a little bit quicker?
I believe that it does, because you're activating like on a different frequency. And, you know, it really is true. Like the windows, you know, I mean, the eyes are the windows to the soul. It's like that penetrating – really getting into the brain area and looking at that. Knowing some of your personality stuff, like one of the things that I use, Lynn, just for personality assessment sometimes with patients is the Enneagram. And this is from a Russian scientist, Russo. There are tons of books on it. If you haven't heard of it before, I probably would recommend the one that is the Enneagram Made Simple, because it gets really intense. There are 9 personality types. And, for example, if you're an 8, if you take a 20-question test, and I think you actually go online to the EnneagramInstitute.com, and there's a free little 20-question test on there to kind of figure out what you are, and then you can buy the more extensive test. And, for example, if you're an 8, instead of just being quadrants, like with an NFLP or whatever the new Myers-Briggs codes are, that you're in there in one little quadrant. With this, if you're an 8, you kind of take on a little bit of 7 and you take on a little bit of 9, because those are your neighbors. Those are the numbers that are beside you, and it kind of laps over a little bit, even though you have dominant in the 8. But the 8s take on the shadow side of 5. And the positive or higher vibration of a 2. And then within the 8, you have low functioning, moderate functioning, and high functioning. So trying to determine where you are, I mean, I've been studying it for a few years, and it's still, I find something new every time I read it. So just looking at that, you can kind of figure out where you're starting from. And it's really simple. There are three categories within this nine. That there are the people that think with their head, okay, which are the four, fives, and sixes, and then the people that think with their guts, which are the eight, nine, and one, and then the people that think with the heart, the people that think with the heart are two, three, four, the heads, five, six, seven. So I have to remember, Cindy, I told you I'm just learning. But you have those three categories. But once I kind of know where somebody is on that, the verbiage changes of how you can access, like you were saying, how it gets to your core quicker. Because the people that think with their head, if you use words like, well, I think this supplement is going to help you with this area, I think this is what's going on with you, they relate to that verb, think, because that's their core being of how they make decisions. Then with the heart people, if you say, well, I feel like this is going to be the best path for you to take, or I feel like this is the best supplement, they're going to hear you more because that's their core foundation of processing stuff is via the heart. And then with the gut thinkers, you say, I believe. So you've got head is I think, heart is I feel, and the people that make gut decisions is I believe. And once you find that verb that connects in with their vibrational frequency of how their core foundation of decision-making is, you get through a lot better. So sometimes I'll try to put affirmations in that level, like, you know, I am believing that this is possible. You know, you just kind of throw them in to help access that core.
Okay. Now we have another question, and that is our freedom really in the retraining of the body and mind?
Freedom isn't retraining, it's changing the vibration. So here's an example of that. If you're sitting in the sewer and you don't like the smell, what do? You move, okay? Raise that frequency to get out of it. It takes a core foundation, obviously, of nutrients to do that. And if you are eating junk food every day, that is not going to give you the vibrational foundation that you need to rise above that. So you're going to have to change some lifestyle things as far as food choices, as far as adding some supplements in to get you through into a different realm.
Okay, so it's not just about retraining. It's all around taking care of yourself.
Well, you have to retrain on an energetic level, but how do you retrain the energetic level if there's no energy coming in to do that? It's kind of like going to build a house with one nail. You're probably not going to get very far.
Right, which is pretty much what we've been working on, which you've been working on with me.
Uh-huh.
Because I was getting this stuff in, but it wasn't going anywhere. And it
had no cohesion. It's like, you know, you throw it against the wall, but it didn't stick.
Right. Right. So I know for myself, and I mean, because we don't have, JR is not on here today, he's not feeling well, so I don't have my co-host with me to kind of help keep this well-rounded. But for myself, I've been working with you, and part of what's going on with me is I've got this ear stuff that's happening, this equilibrium thing that's happening. But I don't know that I've even shared with you, Dr. Ballas, that when my father was 43, which is the age that I am, he was diagnosed with nasopharyngeal carcinoma, and he died at 46. So I have always not been happy about that three-year span in my life and didn't realize how unhappy I was about that until I really hit the age of 43. And interestingly enough, all of his symptoms really started around his throat and his ear and his sinuses. So if I'm really to go back in, I can let that go by going back in and actually speed my healing by going in and doing some affirmations and releasing my emotional and DNA connection to my father.
Exactly. And, you know, you're already part of the way there because you've identified the root cause that's affecting that foundation. So, you know, that's half the process. And sometimes, you know, when I do hands-on, we don't even have to identify that. We just go into the DNA and access it. So there's something with your belief system that you know, with your dad dying, that you took on some of that energy. So it is about releasing that energy and kind of looking at it from a new space, like putting it in a new room.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be my sisters always saying, you're just like dad, you're just like dad.
Well, right, and that programs us, that conditions us. So, you know, that does start to set in, even though we don't want to acknowledge it. It does set in. So we have to look at, you know, how other people's wording and vibrational frequencies are affecting us. You know, it's like if you constantly had a parent saying, oh, well, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat your whole life, you tend to believe that. So you do have to go back and change that belief system.
Okay. Great. I just want to say real quick, my computer knocked me out of Blog Talk, so I've still got the chat room up, although I don't know if I'm actually getting a live stream on the chat room. So if you're calling in, I can't see you right now. But Dr. Ballas, could you, for anybody that might want to get in touch with you or work with you, how would they do that?
You can call our office, Lynn, and that is 307-277-8112 or 277-2466, and that would probably be the better one to use that goes to both offices, is the 307-277-2466.
Great.
And then just another book I wanted to mention, Lynn, was Teresa Dale has a book out called Transform Your Emotional DNA, and it's Understanding the Blueprint of Your Life. That's another good one to get started with if anybody would like to read some more on this. She researched and developed two music therapies that they're based on a five-element theory of acupuncture. So she has a lot of good work going on as well. And I kind of feel, like I said, it's that common thread and we're all kind of working on the same stuff. But that exponentially makes it better for everybody else because there's more of us out there doing it.
Right. Now, you said it's Transform Your Emotional DNA. And who is the author?
Teresa Dale, D-A-L-E.
Okay.
One thing that I work with too, Lynn, is with just basic blood lab work, just blood chemistry, and we've done this with yours as well, so you've experienced this. Instead of just looking at the numbers from a pathological viewpoint of what's out of balance and finding, you know, a prescription that's just going to put a piece of duct tape over that, we look at how the whole terrain is out of balance, like what's the missing, you know, what's the weakest link going on, and look at it from a physiological point of view of structure and function. And also within that, I just take regular blood chemistry numbers and look at emotional DNA patterns through that. Because if you're looking, for an example, creatinine levels may be normal to normal low. Okay, that's not a really big deal physically, but on an emotional level, it can tell me a huge story that this is somebody that feels like the rug just keeps getting yanked out from under them and that they're holding on to a lot of other people's, you know, stuff of taking on other people's energy. And when I go through and look at patterns in the blood emotionally, it took me about 4 years to develop it of doing emotional questionnaires and quantifying it and getting a consistent percentage with the questionnaires and narrowing that down to each function, that biochemical function in the blood is how we arrived there. But that gives me a lot of information emotionally about someone as well, that we work on that as well as working on the physical structures of the blood. So that's all part of the whole consultation, and that's really what allows me to do more work over the phone because I have that.
Right, and I do remember that, going over that with you in our sessions, which I just found that amazing that you were able to read that from the blood work and tell me a lot about my emotional personality having never met me.
It's so much fun. It really is fascinating, and it's kind of like going back to the 1700s with the eclectic physicians of the humors of the body with blood, urine, saliva, and lymph, of telling us a story of everything. And I really do find that to be true, that with blood, urine, saliva, and saliva indirectly representing lymph And it is just amazing when I can see the whole picture. So it's almost like getting medical scanning, like reading an aura somewhat. It's really, I do it more scientific through the blood work, but it's very similar. I have a friend that does like aura readings, and she goes, "You come up with the same stuff that I do. You have to be looking at their aura." And I go, "Well, somewhat, you know, but here's where I'm getting it from." And it's, we always have a good laugh about it and how much it matches a lot of times.
Right. Well, I think it's wonderful that science really is starting to match all this, you know, stuff that's considered more woo-woo, because it really is valid information, and now with science backing it up, I think it's incredible.
It is really unraveling it. You know, you do start with the energetics of it, yeah, and we do get to the science to back it up, and it depends on what came first, chicken or the egg, but it is a complementary. That's why I like, you know, complementary medicine instead of alternative medicine is why I like when it says complementary, because I'm not a purist in the sense that everything is all natural. You know, I still have to write some prescriptions, and it's like gone into the whole Western medicine that everything is fixed with surgery and a prescription too. There's an integration of balance, and I think that's where we're going to start transforming frequency, and we're going to transform society and a new awareness coming about. It's when we meet halfway with each other on the bridge, you know, and start integrating the two. If I, you know, have an arm cut off, I'm definitely going to go have surgery to put it back on. I really don't know of any herbs or supplements or energy work that's going to do that. But in the process, I am going to use that to help heal, you know, after it is put back on. So it is a complementary integration. And I think once that we start embracing that more, we're really going to shift how mankind, how our health, our consciousness, our energetic vibration, our DNA, all of these weird diseases that are floating around, you know, I think that we're really going to get to a higher frequency that's going to shift that.
Right. So with everybody out there, you know, health care and insurance being such a hot topic in politics right now, what I'm hearing you say is something as simple as just sitting down, taking some time to yourself, doing some deep breathing, maybe getting into some meditative techniques or some gentle exercises even, are something that's free that people could do. It's not going to cost them any money. It doesn't matter if they've lost their job. That's something everyone can do. And by raising that vibration, it's also going to improve their health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Breathing is such, not only are you taking in oxygen that's going to regenerate the cells so they're not oxidizing and living in their little sewer sludge that they become anaerobic, which is where cancer cells develop. You're taking in oxygen, so you're giving life. You're giving energy transport back to the cells for them to be able to better facilitate taking in nutrients and to better release toxins. All of that just from deep breathing exercises. I find that's why Tai Chi and yoga are so effective. Yes, the poses and the stretching and the flexibility, but the breathing technique is just, that's the amazing factor with it. And that's why it's so easy. I mean, you can, you know, just pick up a video at the dollar store sometimes on yoga that you can do that's cheap enough just to get you into the breathing techniques. Sitting at your desk, doing some breathing techniques. It changes the vibrational frequency. And to think about how we live in a social environment that we're constantly under stress. You know, prior in, you know, whatever, pioneer times, caveman times, whatever you want to call it, prior history is that we didn't get this adrenaline surge or this rush or this stress feeling like the world's coming to an end unless there was actually a life-threatening situation going on. You know, you have a bear chasing you or you have a saber-toothed tiger coming after you. Yeah, your adrenaline and that gets released because it's a life-threatening situation. Well, now we're getting the same exact adrenaline responses because we're running 5 minutes late or because we got stuck in traffic or because we have two kids that need to be at the same place time and we can't physically make that happen. We're getting the same stress responses, but they're not life-threatening. But the body doesn't act. It doesn't know that that's what's going on. So you have to take the time, recenter, and breathe. I like using essential oils as well. It's really easy. You're not consuming them. You're not using them up. You just keep smelling them. So it works really well to just find some calming, you know, your lavender, your red mandarin, your chamomile, rose, some of these just calming fragrances that you can use to just kind of bring that frequency back down.
Right. And I made a sugar scrub with red mandarin in it one time, and I tell you, everybody I gave that to was so happy. We called it the wise men's scrub or something like that. But, oh, yeah, it was that just made everybody really, really very happy when they used it.
Yeah, it is. Red mandarin really, and if you think of red mandarin, it really calms down the sacral area. So sacral is a direct relationship to adrenal kidney. So it definitely helps with a lot of adrenal stuff.
Right. So we have another someone in the chat room, Jamie, asking, with impending neck surgery approaching, what should they focus on to prevent this from happening again?
Well, you know, I would like to be able to throw out just answers on that, but it's like you have to look at why it got there in the first place. Was it from trauma? You know, was it from accident? Is it a repetitive injury? How much emotional stuff is involved with that? You know, are you putting your neck on the line all the time for somebody that doesn't appreciate it? You just have to look at some of the factors that are going to be involved there. And it's so funny because when you go back to a lot of the cliches, like the one I just used, putting your neck on the line, it really is interesting how that we take that on physically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go within, sit down and do some deep breathing and look at, you know, am I sticking my neck out for somebody that doesn't appreciate it? You know, am I trying to look away from something, and then instead of facing something head on, am I turning, you know, my head to keep from seeing it? Just little things like that that are so subtle sometimes can really tell you a lot, especially with a traumatic or recurrent injury.
All right, he's saying it came from trauma. Would that?
Okay, well then, looking at why you attracted that trauma, you know, why did that energy come to you? What do you need to find out from this? What did that trauma, because even within a negative situation of trauma, there is something positive. There is a positive lesson to get out of that. You know, oh, I broke my foot and it made me have to sit down for 6 weeks. Well, that was saving me from getting, you know, a bigger disease because I wasn't resting or taking care of myself. So looking at the neck with the trauma, you know, and that coming about, what is that trying to get you to see? And I can't answer that for you. You're going to have to go within and kind of, you know, throw some things around and say, you know, what do I need to see from this? And just keep breathing into that of what do I need to see from this? And answer yourself out loud to find out. A lot of times I'll sit down with two different colored pens, and I will say out loud while I'm writing, again, using the visual thing, and blue ink, and I'll say, okay, what do I need to learn from this situation? And I'll sit there and just listen and ponder, like, oh, well, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. And I write all my answers down in red, and I don't even think about what I'm writing when I do it. I just keep going. And then I go back and read it, and usually, sure enough, there's an answer in there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of healing is really just about exploring why you're not well to begin with, or just like looking for that underlying what would have brought this, because every
right.
disease serves you in some way.
It does, and again, that's a DNA activation, you know, to be able to identify dysfunctional patterns as well as to strengthen functional patterns. So this approach works, you know, with vibrational frequency of the disease rather than the disease itself. So your cells have the ability to heal and return to balance. So your DNA activation, you're going to actively and consciously create the moment when this whole process started, and it kind of moves it like outside of a linear time, and it takes place on a biological time clock that you have control of resetting, and you have the ability to recreate it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, you were saying, because you also do saliva testing, can you see the same results from the saliva testing if you look at saliva as when you look at blood?
I do. I look at emotional patterns when I quantify. I do what's called a resistivity, redox, and pH reading on saliva. And That can also tell me emotional patterns that are going on of being stuck, being congested, allowing people to take advantage of you. There are several different patterns you can tell with that. Not as many because I have about 40 tests I look at in the blood and there's only 6 tests, you know, in the saliva. But, yeah, it can help quantify it as well.
Okay. That's wonderful.
So it's just about, you know, once the DNA is activated, your DNA activation moves you into what's called a morphogenic field where your emotions are held. And then once that DNA is activated, emotions and beliefs and behavior patterns that really aren't serving your life can be removed, and you can replace them with a higher vibrational frequency.
Right. So that old, you know, I guess it's a myth that DNA cannot be changed, or DNA can be changed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And one of the things, too, that I work with Stephen Horn, Lynn, he's with Tree of Light. It's TreeLight.com, and he is my publisher. And some of the things that we work with, he does a class on emotional anatomy, and we teach this on the Kabbalah. And I just did a class on this several months back, and it was really fun because within the Kabbalah, you know, a lot of the books that you read on Kabbalistic healing leave one of the energy points out. So we use a 12-point energy system on the Kabbalah. The interesting thing with that is there are 22 pathways that connect those. And a lot of what I do from past research, there are 22 strands of DNA activation. So it really goes into this pattern. There are 22 amino acid pathways. And it's like that blueprint of who you are, you can totally place with this Kabbalah. They've done it for years and years and years with high priests, priestess, prophets, oracles. But the activation of the 22nd strand, they, you know, say, okay, that's being when you hit that highest frequency. And a lot of times the highest frequency, it's like I tell people, you know, your blood work's never going to be perfect except about an hour before death, and it does get perfect. So it's kind of like, yeah, that all of these strands get perfect, you know, right before you get ready to cross over. But if you're able to bring in more positive energy and more breathing techniques into your physical body, then you're going to maximize the potential to unleash more healing, also more talent, more cognizant awareness, better memory. A lot of things will shift to be on a higher vibration. You're going to have more energy and clarity. You're going to have a better immune system. You're going to start releasing these unconscious patterns that you do. You're going to increase the ability that you have more parts of your brain to use. And it's also going to change how you interact with your family. That always happens. And sometimes that becomes a little uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, it does. Been there and done
that's
that.
Like I tell people, yeah, people doing, you know, AA or Al-Anon, you know, that definitely changes the family dynamic when you start applying those principles, and this is the same thing. So you get a lot of flack sometimes, but you have to keep working on the body balancing and the breathing and getting the tools in that are going to help you build that foundation, because you want to build a foundation, you know, on solid rock and not on sand that it's shifting. And that's where just getting, you know, basically I tell people you have to have minerals to do that. You have to have protein to do that. You have to have not so much a big multi-fan, but you have to have things that are going to support the adrenal with all the stress to do that. So you have to give the body something to rebuild with.
Okay. Now, Jamie's asking again if there's, instead of surgery, because it was a motorcycle accident, if his neck might be able to be healed from holistic treatment. And I, before I let you turn that over to you, Kim, I want to say that I have gone to a Rolfer here in my area, and she's actually been on the show. And I don't know what the nature of your accident would be, but Rolfing, I just think that's a phenomenal form of body work. But what do you have to say about that, Dr. Ballas?
I am a huge Rolfing fan. I am I'm addicted to Rolfing. So and we lost our Rolfer in this area, so I'm really wanting one. I thoroughly believe if it were me, I would be exploring every area first. And if you're not in excruciating pain or there's not a life-threatening situation going on with the nerves or the spinal cord, I would be exploring every option to reduce inflammation, to regain nerve pathway control, and to regroup where the area of injury is. I would be trying Rolfing. I would be trying acupuncture. I would be trying Reiki. If you have a very good chiropractor, I would be trying that. Massage therapy. I would do a lot of different things first. And if you have the luxury of waiting, you know, 3-4 months on the surgery, it's like, and it's not like, again, not life-threatening and not to replace the advice of what you've already gotten medically of not knowing all of the exact things going on with your neck injury, just from a general perspective, I would say explore it.
Right. Yeah, if it's not life-threatening, then a couple months isn't usually going to do too much.
Right, and if it's pain, you know, if it's a lot of inflammation and pain and things that are impairing you from being functional or working, you know, there are some great herbal anti-inflammatories on the market, you know, Boswellia, xanthones, you know, the willow barks, they're turmeric. There's a lot of things that can help take down inflammatory response and actually doing more good essential fatty acids, like more omega-3s, not only work on the inflammation, but they help regenerate nerve response too. So, you know, looking at some things in that area, kava-kava actually works as a muscle relaxant to help release some of that. While you're doing the therapies, it could be beneficial depending on the severity of the accident and what you're facing. So those are just some general comments.
Right. Well, we are getting to the top of our show, and I want to thank you for bringing up Stephen Horn's name. He is actually going to be on our show in January talking about a new book that he has written, and it has been wonderful having you on here, Dr. Ballas. Like I said, you are just a walking encyclopedia of a variety of different things I'm learning. So, and I was really pleased to hear, or like tickled to hear you talking about the when you were doing the research, because I'd read about that research and didn't realize that you were a part of the research. I don't think I ever read it where the names of the people were involved, but that's really interesting to know that you were at least doing one of those tests that were going out there showing how far away you could get from the subject and the blood was still changing.
Yeah, that was really, really fun. So, yeah, we can back a lot of what we do up with science. We may not get it published. It may get buried somewhere, but at least we know that we have validity.
Right, exactly. So I want to remind everyone that's listening that you can reach Dr. Ballas if you wanted to work with her at 307-277-2466. And, of course, I highly recommend her because I use her myself. I mean, she's a phenomenal. She's great at what she does.
And we have fun.
Yes, exactly. It is. It's always a great time talking. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, I forgot my follow-up appointment, so I'm going to be calling your office for that too.
Awesome. I will look forward to talking to you again, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. And I would just like to remind everybody, next week is our monthly meditation, so if you're needing some inexpensive relaxation, there you go. You can't get better than free. And after that, we have November 3rd, we have Reverend Lisa Marks, who's going to be talking about past life regression. And the week after that, we're having Suzette Faith Foster, who had the same injury as Christopher Reeves and is walking, talking, moving around because of energy medicine, and that's what she practices today. So we hope that you all will join us then. And we will just sign off thanking Dana and Ariana Agnolini for their music, One Light at a Time. And again, thank you, Dr. Ballas, for being with us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.